Tama Pōtaka is kindly with us. I haven't spoken with Tama very much since he became an MP, but it's great to catch up with him and find out about life and how the blue team are tracking. Hey, Tama, te rangue.
Kia ora, mate. Hey. I'm speaking to you from the home of the Chiefs. You know it.
You know it too. Good on you, Tama. Hey, firstly, you've settled in like a duck to water, eh, into the political environment?
Well, I'm trying to learn from legends in Parliament, the kaumātua like Jerry Brownlee and Judith Collins and Willie Jackson, you know, those various kaumātua that populate the halls of the Beehive and Parliament House, and, you know, sitting at their feet and listening to how they operate and the type of protocols that we need to, tikanga, that we need to adopt to be effective.
Tēnā koe. It seems that you slotted in like you were made for the role, brother, and, you know, you mentioned Brownlee and Collins. They were significant leaders back in the day, and even though they might not have the role, their record, their experience is undoubted in the political space, eh?
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, a measure of that was last week when Jerry, the godfather of the House, the grandfather of the House, gave a few observations in relation to protocols, and the Speaker took those on and acknowledged his contribution. So it doesn't matter. People from any party, you can learn. And I always say, nobody has everything and everybody's got something. And that's how I see life.
Tēnā koe, obviously, we're looking at education today and academic standards. There is a push for a return to the three R's. I understand that. Reading, writing and arithmetic are important, but we are living in an increasingly digital age. So I just wonder whether you still stick by as an educator yourself, has certainly been through the education system, stick by those mantra that Christopher Luxon pushed a little while ago. So education for young people is important, not only for them personally, but for the nation. Do you think our education here in our country is on the right track, Tama?
No, I don't. And we can see that in a number of measures, whether or not that's enrolment. You know, 10,000 kids apparently not even enrolled at school. Attendance, a great example, 62 out of 100 Māori kids did not turn up regularly in term 4 of 2002 to school. Retention, you know, our retention rates of Māori kids staying at school to the 17 is around 68%, with Pākehā and Pacifica it's over 80. And then achievement, you know, 19% of Māori kids get university entrance achievement. Whereas our Asian brothers and sisters 3.5 times better at 68%. So for Māori kids, the education system right now is not delivering. And it's the same for kids in other cohorts as well. So overall, I think the education system has not only failed our children, but it's also failed the country. And we need change.
Where do Māori sit in your observations here? Because we know that our Māori medium kids are seemingly tracking pretty well with their educational standards, and 85% of our kids actually hit mainstream schools. So what might you suggest needs to be done to improve overall Māori educational standards across the board?
Well, I think one of the key things, if you ask people like Dame Georgina King at St. Joseph's Māori Girls College, one of the key subjects that we really need to get to grips with is literacy, and particularly English literacy. And for me, if it's English literacy, minor literacy, Kate's pie, you know, as long as there's a degree of literacy, and that's something that we really need to focus on, hence why Erica Stanford's policy around teaching the basics brilliantly, for me, is absolutely fantastic. Focus on those core skills, reading, writing, maths. And for me personally, Bill, and having an awareness of digital technology is really important as well. One of the things that you and I both know, Dale, is that you've got the academic side, but you've also got this other side, which often is the hook to get kids really engaged in learning and really engaged in education, and their parents as well, because most schools that are real outperformers are faith or Christian or values-based schools with a lot of parental involvement and support. So those hooks, for me, are things like the arts, like choir and kapa haka, music and drama and production, things like sport. So a great example of that is Hamilton Girls here in the best place to grow up and grow old, where you've got the best first 15 and best netball team in the country. The girls' school run by a Māori principal, Marie Gordon. Other examples are like Manukura, down in Palmerston North, which is one of the outperforming schools across the country, a real outperformer. So you have those technical skills, those real basics, reading, writing, maths, and other things which I'm personally am interested in too. But you've also got that hook and that thing that really generates a lot of enthusiasm with kids to be there, whether or not it's their mates or the teachers, but things like arts and sports and and the food. You know, the food at school, people like going for a feed too.
Without doubt. Look, you mentioned that you, you're being keeping your eye on people who've had a ton of experience in there. Jerry Brownlee, Judith Collins, and strangely, you mentioned Willie Jackson. What are you learning from Willie Jackson, Tamapotaka?
Well, there's always things that you can learn about what to do and what not to do. And I learn what not to do from a lot of people, including Willie. But including people like David Seymour. Like, David has some amazing performances in the house and the contributions that he makes. And I listen to him and the way he operates, and I think, hey, I can learn from different people. I don't have to just learn from the National Party leadership and the National Party team, but I can learn from others. And they don't necessarily have to be MPs either. Like, you listen to the way people conduct themselves in select committees, say, hey, that's something that maybe I can use in the things that I do as well. I always say, Dale, everybody has something and nobody has everything.
So you're a personality thief?
No, what no. I'd like to say is I steal with pride. I steal with pride.
Steal with pride. Hey, look, on a more serious note, and I know I didn't, it's sort of catching out off the cuff here, but I did notice that there's some heat on about Māori fisheries and Kermadec and the Kermadec Sanctuary, which was proposed by Key, as you know. Then many arced up and said, hey, well, that contravenes our rights under the fisheries settlement arrangement. And that's being revisited here. I know that Te Huakai won a special general meeting. It's a bit of a contentious issue. Have you any thoughts here? Do you think that some are saying, look, the government should have rights to sign up an international fisheries-free zone, but Māori are saying, and not without us. Any thoughts here? You're the Māori development spokesperson for National, you see.
Yeah, no, I don't know if we've got a firm policy on the Kermadec and the sanctuaries at this stage. So I'd have to engage back with my course. I just actually caught the kōrero on that last night on my way home. So, yeah, I haven't got a firm view. I do know that we have some ancestral pathways out to Rangitāuhua and Raoul and the Kermadec. So there's those ancestral links, but we've also got those commercial imperatives and economic rights that stretch into that space. So I don't have a view at the moment, but the next time we caught it all, hopefully in the next week or so, might have a view then.
And very diplomatic response there, Tamapotaka. Yeah, and that's right, I would fend it off too. Dirty little journalists trying to sneak in questions about stuff that you hadn't have time to get your head around. That's fair enough.
Well,
too.
I'm just trying to get prepped for the Chiefs game this weekend, and of course the field days, which is on today, and it's -2 degrees down there. It's freezing. Just trying to get some socks and mittens on.
Have you been looking? I know there's votes in wearing Chiefs gear, but don't you think there'd be more votes in wearing Warriors gear?
I caught up with the guys from Altex last night, and they're absolutely thrilled with the progress of the Warriors, as are most of the country, especially in South Auckland. So, love what the Warriors are doing. Love their style of play. And Shaun Johnson, he's hitting the right notes in conducting the orchestra that the Warriors is. Sometimes it's, it's pretty screechy, but this year it's going really well. I'm really proud of what they're doing.
Ka pai. And I see Ngāti
Tōrero. Them and the Dolphins, mate. Them and the Dolphins.
Yeah, they're both going great. Look, I spoke with Helmut Mudlick not so long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, some pretty savvy moves. When you were at the helm doing the arrangements for Ngaitauki Tamaki, buying a school, well, they've done similar too, haven't they, with the police college. There's even a prison in their portfolio now. So perhaps, lessons to be learned intertribally.
Absolutely, and the thing I like about my whanaunga and Ngāti Tuaranga Tira, particularly Helmets and his team, is that they've got a fearless dynamic, and they don't need to be in the news every day in order to get on with that too. So I really acknowledge and admire the mahi that Helmets and Callum Cartney and others are doing to lead that that iwi rangatira that we're all part of, toa rangatira, into the future. And that acquisition of 44 schools, I think they've got another 20 to go, the police college and other things, getting through the value chain really demonstrates the appetite of Māori, iwi Māori and corporations and trusts. Went to the Ahu Whenua Awards last week to actually be massive contributors to our whānau, to our communities, but also to New Zealand generally.
Good talking with you, Tamu. I'll speak more regularly. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us today, brother. All the best.
Ngā mihi. See you at field days.
Okay, sounds good. Go the Chiefs. You're 603 Urban Māori Radio.